Okay, so maybe these less well-known species of bees like Osmia and squash bees can take over some of the work honeybees do, but let's get back to what's going on with the honeybees. New York Magazine editor David Wallace Wells took a deeper look at the problems and stresses facing honeybees in a recent cover story. He joins us from New York. David, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, you went looking for the reason behind why all of these bees have been dying, and it's been unexplained, basically. Scientists haven't figured it out, but what did you find?
There was a period when scientists were really confused about it, but over the last year they've actually, or last few years, they've actually kind of settled on a pretty total explanation, which is it's part this bug called varroa, which infects colonies. It's part this new class of pesticides, in particular this, it's called neonicotinoid. They basically pump nicotine on the plants and the bees eat that, and that is really bad for them. And then this problem with diet, which is connected to this much bigger issue, which is that honeybees are really part of this industrial farming apparatus. They're trucked around the country from farm to farm to pollinate plants. They don't really live in the wild at all. And so when they get to these massive industrial farms, it's like one crop for miles and miles, and the bees only eat that one crop for the month that they're on that farm, which is totally unnatural for them. The beekeepers can sometimes supplement that diet a little bit, but it's really kind of devastating. Just imagine eating like only bananas for a month or only oatmeal for a month. And the combination of these things is actually worse than each of them taken individually. Their bees are responding to these factors sort of like we respond to stress. That is, you know, it's not A plus B plus C. It's sort of A times B carried to the C power. And the result is, mass death. I think this year we had 42% of bees died. And
wow.
Basically each of the last 10 years, something like 2 out of 5 bee colonies has disappeared.
Well, and as you point out in your article, it's these farmed bees that are the ones dying. The wild bees are not.
Totally. In fact, there aren't really any wild honeybees in America. There are 4,000 bee species in the country, but this only species that anybody talks about are honeybees, and 95% of them are in what are called managed colonies, which is the hives are man-made. They live mostly on trucks traveling around the country from farm to farm. They're not natural creatures, and they're not living in the natural world. So it's kind of interesting that bees have become this symbol of environmental catastrophe. These mass deaths have gotten everybody really freaked out over the last decade, when in fact they're only here because our industrial farming apparatus needs them. They wouldn't be here otherwise, and the living conditions are completely unnatural. They're not, you know, they don't reflect any environmental change. They just reflect agribusiness.
Well, what about the pesticide part of this? Did you find, as you were working on this story, that it would even be possible to have the kind of farming system that we have in the United States without the use of these pesticides?
Probably not. I mean, over the last few decades, farming has become more and more corporatized. And the, as I was saying before, the farms that result are just these massive corporate structures that are huge. They're not really run by farmers. They're run by businessmen. And the pesticides allow those crops to grow, you know, much more abundantly than they would otherwise. And in a sort of profit-obsessed sector of the farming industry, that's what the companies want. The truth is that the money that they make from it supports not just the bees that we're talking about, but it allows the beekeepers to survive and the bee colonies to survive despite these mass deaths. So even though we've had 40% of all bee colonies dying every year for the last decade, the total population of bees is actually at an all-time high. Huh. It's just that the American consumer is willing to pay a couple of extra cents for their bananas or for their pumpkins, and eventually that gets passed along to the beekeepers who rebreed every off-season and are able to completely stabilize their population. So, you know, even though we're so nervous about the fate of bees, the truth is that we pay for them to survive, and they're not in actually any danger at all. All the entomologists I talked to said, maybe the beekeeper is in danger, but the bees themselves are going to survive.
So what do you think about the story that we just heard about farmers trying to incorporate other kinds of bees to do the work for them?
That's probably a good idea. I mean, especially small-scale farms where you can introduce other kinds of crops to support the bees. But the truth is, it's really hard to imagine some of these massive farms undertaking those kinds of projects because they don't want to give up you know, 5% of their land to plants that they aren't going to be able to harvest and sell, which is really what the cost of bringing in other kinds of bees would be. The beautiful thing to these corporate farms about honeybees is that, you know, you can truck them in and truck them out. You don't need to make room for them in your in your acreage.
That's David Wallace Wells at New York Magazine, who wrote an article about the blight of the honeybee. We'll link you to it at hereandnow.org. David, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.